Unfortunately, I cannot find the number to claim host, so I can't share the text, but hopefully we'll figure it out sometime during this year. So we'll start with that. I wanted to discuss some of the ideas that we have when we study the episodes of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and of the Imos, and the Sefer Bereishis in general. We are familiar with the ideas of trying to look at the... Trying to identify in the almost various ways of conducting ourselves and trying to learn their midos. We're very familiar with the idea of Masa Ovos Simen Labanim, that okay, is that working? Is there a text up there? Okay, good. But there are certain ideas that I found in some of the introductory shiurim of recent teachers and recent Rosh Hashivas that I thought look at it a little bit differently than we're used to. So let's zero in on one particular idea, and then we'll build on that. At the very beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, the story of Avraham Avinu begins with Vayomer Hashem El Avraham, which seems like an innocuous sentence, and we skip over it. We don't take it, of course, Hashem spoke to Avraham. And that is how I think many people learn all the time. Rav Matisyahu Solomon, the Mashkiach of Lakewich, and Rav Fuah Shalem, is not well. So he writes this, he wrote this about 20 years ago, that as he was getting older, he would always look at the parsha a little bit differently. And then he came across this Rambam. The Rambam, where the Rambam describes what a Navi is, what a prophet is. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei Torah that in order for a person to be a prophet, to have a conversation with Hashem, Ein hanavua chola ela al chochem gadol b'chochma, gibor b'minosav, that prophecy will only come to a person who is a man of great intelligence, of great wisdom, and a person whose conduct is superior. V'lo yayitzro miskaber olam b'darvor me'olam, and he's flawless. He never is taken by some kind of urge to take care of something. Miskaber b'dato v'al yitzro tamid. He is continuously, incessantly able to always do the right thing, never taken by some kind of urge or need or proclivity. And he's a well-established and very broad intelligence. A person who has all of these attributes, and when he comes into the inner secrets of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's able to maintain this equilibrium. And he's able to have that well-established intelligence. And he continues to become a holier person. And he's able to distinguish himself and remove and carve his own path that is defined by his spiritual ambitions. And he continuously is inspiring himself and growing and training himself. That he never has a thought that is an insignificant thought. He never has a thought that has anything to do with some of the non-essential and unimportant parts of life. His mind is always connected with Hashem. So it describes ideas that I can't even understand or translate. So that kind of a person miyad ruach hakodesh shove olav. Immediately, he has a transcendent holy awareness of God that rests on him. Tisarev nafshei b'malas hamalachim, and his soul begins to travel with the malachim. So Solomon says that when he first, all his years, till probably was in the, I assume in his 40s or 50s, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Hashem spoke to Avram. He didn't take note of it. And then when he was impressed by this Rambam, he realized that in that phrase, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, that speaks to what Avram accomplished as a person. It speaks to who Avram was. It is a code for saying all of this about Avraham Avinu, that he was a person who was incessantly connected with the Rabboni Shalom, that he was a person who didn't have a thought that was an insubstantial, not substantial thought. He was a person who was flawless. And then we take that a step deeper and you look at the Parsha, so that answers or addresses one of the questions of the Parsha. Because in the Torah Shebichsav, we don't have any awareness or appreciation of what brought Avram Avinu to become Avram, to be chosen by the Rabboni Shalom. The very end of Parshas Noach describes the lineage of Avram Avinu. It says that Terach took Avram Avinu and they went from Ur Kasdim. So the Medrash tells us that Ur Kasdim is a story. Ur Kasdim is the story of a person who was willing to go into a furnace of fire in order to, because of his fealty to his beliefs. And then we learn that Terach is old and God speaks to Avram. But in the part, in the Chumash, it seems to be almost spontaneous. We don't have any insight into who Avram was. So Solomon said, all that changes when you know how to read the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem El Avram. That Pasuk speaks volumes and describes who Avram was when he accomplished. And if Solomon uses that as an illustration for something much more, for something which is much broader in the way that he wants all adults to look at Chumash. And that is the example he gives to bring to life a selection from the Chovas Halvavos, where the Chovas Halvavos insists that as a person gets older, that they begin once again every year to learn Chumash and to take the approach that now that I've had new experiences, another year of experience, another year of thinking, another year of exposure to ideas, another year where my emotions have matured, I will now look at the Chumash entirely different with fresh eyes. And the Chovas Halvavos, written by Rabbeinu Bechaya in Pekuda, in the, I think, the 10th century, one of the first Svarim that organized our unique ways of thinking. It's a sefer that's somewhere in between a sefer philosophy and a sefer of Musar, but it's one of the earliest of its kind, and maybe the first of its kind. So there, the Chovas Halvavos in the boldface, so important for us. Al kain al tanuach da'adcha al mashen itstayer b'libcha b'tchilas limudcha. A person should not be satisfied with the impressions he has in their heart from their earliest learning, min ha'anyanim ha'misupakim v'asvaros ha'mukos, things that are of great substance and things that are and thoughts that are very, very deep. Avol roi l'cha l'haschil be'eis chozek sich l'cha v'akarvoscha, as a person's mind and thinking is more mature and is stronger, to once again engage Torah Elokim, V'sifrei Nevi, of Chumash Navi, Kimi Shaloi Lamad Mehem Os, as if we had never read them before. V'targil Atzmacha L'farsham U'Levarvam, and we should train ourselves to review them and explain them and understand them, B'milosam, literally, U'bil Shonam, and understanding their language. In other words, the way I would understand this is that as we, when we're younger, So we don't have the ability to often focus on the language of Torah, on the words of Torah. And our learning often focuses on various on various mefarshim, and that's the way that we learn. We learn by building on ideas, by addressing our minds at the stage of what they're at. But because our minds become more mature, so Kadosh Baruch Hu expects that we will continuously review with fresh minds. And then he writes, and this is a tangent, but something which is so important for us. He says, and the same thing is true when it comes to davening and when it comes to giving shevach to Hashem. Miyistakel b'milosam u'magamas in yaneim. He said the same thing is true when it comes to davening, when it comes to our brachos that we say to Hashem, that we should once again be thinking, what is the purpose of this tefillah? What is happening in the words of this tefillah? That we should understand what we're saying, and we should understand what our hearts are able to request through these words. And we should not conduct ourselves the way that we did when we were young, that we say the words by rote. I think what he's referring to is that the only way that we can train ourselves from our earliest years to daven is if we take great pride in simply accomplishing the words, the senses, that's when we're very young. We train ourselves from our earliest years to daven without understanding. We train ourselves to bench without understanding. The positive reinforcement of davening and of benching when we're young is we get through it. We can say, we read it well. And that's probably the best we can do. But that ingrains within us being satisfied to daven without really understanding. And the flip side of trying to focus on everything all the time is also something that's very difficult because it's because of the time involved. But what the Chovas HaLevavos is asking us to do is, as we get older, to continuously review and ask ourselves, do I really understand this? And is there something, is there a greater appreciation I can have in this? What comes to my mind is something that a member of my family, when he spoke several years ago, he said that when he got asked me at children, so when he says modim, and he says al nisecha shabachol yom al nifla osecha, so what he has in mind, he has a film strip in his mind of his children. I'm sure now of his grandchildren, and the. As we get older, it says phrases on the secha shebachol yom, the miracles when we were young. I'm not sure what we meant when we said the miracles that are with us at all times. But as we get older, we see many, many miracles with us all the time. So this idea that we should encourage ourselves, and he says that sometimes we convince ourselves that we don't have greater clarity than we had when we were younger. When we were younger, we sometimes figure I had less going on in my life. I had the quieter times. I was able to study. I could find more times to open up a sefer. So the Chovas HaLevavos says that is the Yetzer Hara seducing us into being an autopilot, being automatic. But we have to rise above that and understand that even if we have perhaps less time to maybe sit with a sefer, and perhaps we may have less quiet moments when there aren't so many things in our mind, but on the other hand, we bring greater life experiences, and we bring greater wisdom, and we collect many, many ideas, and we interact with people, and all of this gives us the ability to re-understand and re-appreciate. And so that's the first idea of Rabbi Yosef Solomon when he introduced this idea at the beginning of his series of essays on the Avos. He introduced it with Vayomer Hashem El Avram. When I was in eighth grade, I think maybe seventh grade, we had a Rebbe who challenged us every week to to choose any pasuk, and on a Friday morning, and he would be able to darshan the pasuk, and he was able to do it. I even remember, I think somebody may have once given him a pasuk, but he darshan Hashem al Moshe anymore, and he didn't flinch. So, but that's the idea that Rav Solomon is pointing out, is that he didn't appreciate this until many years later. I was thinking of, in trying to figure where my own experiences, where did I see that? I can think of many, many examples. But one example that came to mind in this week's parasha is that there is a skula that when a person has lost something and they have trouble finding it, it works for very specific situations when a newly lost item. So one of the suggestions that we find in our Masorah is for a person to say the words of the Medrash Rabbah, Rabbi Binyamin, Hakol Becheska Sumin, Achakadosh Baruch Hu Meir Eseinayim. Everybody can't find things. Everybody is blinded until Kadosh Baruch Hu opens their eyes. How do we know this? Because in this week's parasha, Vayivkach Elokim es Eineho, Vatelech Vatamalias es Achemos, es Chemos Amayim. Vayivkach Elokim es Eineho, Hagar had no, he couldn't, it was dehydrated, and she couldn't find anything to drink. And after Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to her, to Malach, so then God opens her eyes, and she sees the Be'er. So, and then the school is often enhanced by dedicating money to Rav Meir Balanes. Why do I share this with you? Because whenever I learned the parsha of Parshas Vayera, and Avram sends Hagar away, so it always struck me so difficult. Vayashkeim Avram baboker, Avram got up, vayikach lechem lechemas mayim, and he took bread, and he took a flask of water, he gave it to Hagar, and he sent Hagar and Yishmael on their way. And then, next pasuk, there was enough water left. So how could Avram not send Hagar with enough water? Chazal understood that Avram sent Hagar with enough water to get to the next Be'er. But Kadosh Baruch Hu caused her not to see that Be'er, not to see that well. And once she davened to Hashem, and Hashem wanted her to find the Be'er, he didn't make a new well. She simply opened her eyes. The Be'er was there. The skula, when it works, it's not because the Kadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle and put something there. It's because it was, as we say, hidden in plain sight. It was there, but I kept on missing that drawer, that envelope, that place to look. I didn't think of it. I reviewed all of my activities, didn't come to it. But the point is that it was only when I dwelt on this Gemara that I appreciated that what Chazal are saying is Avram sent Hagar with enough water to get to the next Be'er. And then it was only there that that she ran out, but Avram's cheshbon was that she'll be fine because she sent enough water. So that is, again, just by the importance of looking at Chumash with fresh eyes in order to, and we can do that because we have all these new experiences that we accrue and are able to appreciate aspects of Chumash and ideas that, because of our experiences, because of our learning, we should always be unafraid to see him Torah with in a new way and be fully appreciative. There is the second hakdama, the second divrei psicha that I want to share with you is one that comes from Rav Simcha Zissel Broid. Simcha Zissel Broid was the Rosh Hashiva of Chevron, the Chevron in Yerushalayim. After it moved to Yerushalayim, he was only in Nifter thing in the 1980s, and he was a powerhouse of a Talmud Chacham, and he was a man of great breadth and great insight. And because in addition to teaching the regular curriculum of the yeshiva and publishing on that, he spent years and years and years studying the Ramban. And later on in his life, one of his students published the essays, that were, I guess, the takeaways of his appreciation of the different ideas of the Ramban. So he develops an idea that, again, is a little bit different than we usually focus on. We usually focus on the Avos, Masa Avos Simen Labonim. We speak about how their activities give us an insight into what we should do. The famous one is Yaakov Avinu, that we learned from Yaakov Avinu, that as he dealt with Esav, so we always deal with adversary. We deal with adversary by davening and by planning for conflict and by trying to avoid conflict. Those are the three lessons. That's one of the classic cases of where Masa Avos, what the Avos did, instructs us. And then Masa Avos Simen Labanim, the idea that with the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov experienced, that is a simon for us, that they are, in addition to being guideposts, it also is sometimes a prophecy for us. It tells us how things are going to happen. Avram Avinu comes to Israel around the area of Shechem. We came to Israel under the guidance of Yoshua around the area of Shechem. Avram Avinu goes to Mitzrayim. We end up going to Mitzrayim. So one of the classic approaches, Masa Avos Simen Labanim, what the Avos did is empowers children. That the famous idea of Chaim Volozhiner, that the ability of Klal Yisrael of Jews to sacrifice, often to sacrifice their lives, and often it's the unlettered and the less familiar, that was an energy, that was an ability that became implanted in our DNA from the Yovos. These are the usual ideas that are often expressed and that we're often looking for when we study the stories of the forefathers of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Simcha Zissel Broid, he directed his attention to another idea, and we can find this idea, let's zero in and where it becomes so relevant to us. And that is in our davening, and a comment by another Rabbeinu Bechaya, lived at a different time, and a student of the school of the Ramban. Because every day when we daven, so we open up our Shmona Esrei, and we say, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Our God, the God of our forefathers. Then we go on to say, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. Why the redundancy? Once we said Elokei Avoseinu, so we said that he's the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So we should choose either do the more flowery language, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Avoseinu. But why the redundancy? Now, I believe that most of us have been taught at some point, why are we addressing God as the God of the forefathers altogether? So I think we often, our mind often goes to an idea which Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, that we are giving our credentials. And what are we, who are we? So we say to God, we're coming with our yichus. We're coming with our credentials. That's what gives us the ability to come to you. But that explains why we say the God of our forefathers. It doesn't explain why we say, again explicitly, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rabbeinu Bechai explains that what we are really saying is we are turning to Hashem and saying that there is an aspect of Hashem which we have come to understand through Avram. Al kain, sider hamidos b'tfilason, ala seder azeh. We Chazal have organized our davening around these ideas. Elokei Avi Avram zu midas hachesed. We are appealing to Hashem as the one of great compassion. When we say Elokei Yitzchak, we are appealing to Hashem of the whose immense gevura, the ability. The Chazal see it. Gevura is the ability to overcome what would seem to be the most reasonable thing to do. Chazal speak about it as God's patience, that both patience with us, and sometimes to our detriment, patience with those who detract from us. But Gevura is that ability for Hashem to, the midah of tremendous, tremendous patience, Gevura, being able to overcome that which doesn't seem to be the natural and the obvious. So Yitzchak was able to overcome the ingrained will to live and sacrifice his life, this week's parasha. And when it comes to Yaakov, it's the midah of emes, it's loyalty. It's like a Shvarchu has remained, it's hard to say, but it means loyal to us, even in all of our, with our flaws and even in our sometimes communal issues. So as we begin the first paragraph of the Shemoneh Esrei, and we are appealing to the various attributes of Hashem, and we're going to say that he's a gibor v'andayro kelelyon gomel chasadim tovim. Begin by saying that he's the God of Chesed, the God of Gevura, the God of Emes. He's compassionate. He is. Patient with us and able to overcome natural reactions, which might be to our detriment, and he is tremendously loyal to his covenant and to his people. We express it, every other attribute is expressed directly. We say every other shavach, mechayim meisim, somech noflim, that God takes care of the dead, that God revives it, he takes care of those who are ill. These three aspects, we refer to them in a more poetic fashion. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So Simcha Zisel says that means that there are aspects of God that we can understand through the stories of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he says that's one of the goals that Chazal wanted us to address when we are looking through the stories of the Avos. So in addition to trying to understand important aspects of conduct that we should have, and in addition to seeing patterns of behavior and patterns of Klal Yisrael, this is taking it to another step. We can now, through the story of the Amos, we'll use the example of this week's parsha. This week's parsha that begins with Avram as being a Baal Chesed. It's not simply that he's a Baal Chesed. It's that he has an innate drive to rise above his own concerns and to seek out opportunities to take care of the malacha. So the story of Avram's chesed helps us appreciate what we mean when we say God is the God of kindness, the God of compassion. That we're not only referring to God as a God who reacts to pain, but we're referring to a God who seeks out to try and take care of us even when we don't turn to him, and seeks an opportunities to provide for us. So that is all crunched in, all packed in to Elokei Avram, is to appreciate a aspect of compassion that will be hard for us to attach to if not for Avram Avinu. Now, this idea is expressed in the Ramban in the very beginning of Sefer Shmos. The very beginning of Sefer Shmos, the Ramban points out that Shmos is the book of redemption. And the Ramban addresses the question that if it's the book of redemption, it should be half the size. It should finish up after Bishalach, when we get out of Mitzrayim, redemption is finished. Kriyas Yamsuf. Or if redemption is complete when we get the Torah, then it should be finished after the parsha of Yisro, the giving of the Ten Commandments. However, the Torah continues, Shemos, to discuss the building of the Mishkan. So Rabban explains, because redemption for the Jewish people is only when we have the Mishkan, because that's when God is back close with us and we're in his close precincts. So Rabban explains that in the boldface, he says, Oz Shavu El Ma'alas Abosom, Shayesod Eloka Ale Aleim, that redemption is we in Mitzrayim, we did not have that closeness to God that he lived with us. And that was a drop from the experience of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. When we return to the lives of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that's redemption. When we come back to what we've lost, so we not only lost the independence of when we became slaves, we not only lost the comfort that we had before we had slaves, but we lost having a sense of God living with us in our homes. So that only came back to us when we had the Mishkan. And then he uses a phrase which the Gemara coins, Veheim Heim HaMerkova. And the Ovos are the limousines, the chariots of God. And it's only when we come back to that Madrega, to that status of being the chariots of God. Now, what does that mean to be the Markova of Hashem? So it could mean what the Gemara says in Menachos, where Hashem says that my gratitude to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is different than the gratitude I have for anybody else, because they were the ones who first introduced me into this world. It's because of them that the world moved from a pagan world to a monotheistic world. And all people who adhere to monotheistic beliefs because of Rabbi Yitzchak and Yaakov, it could be that that's what it means. They are the chair, they're the drivers, they're the limousines, they're the train that brings the Kadosh Baruch Hu into this world. But I believe what the Ramban is saying is that based on this Rabbeinu Bachaya, that they bring aspects of God into this world and make aspects of Hashem accessible to us. And when we are told that we should follow in the ways of Hashem in Matat Yudei, when we're told by Chazal that Mahu Rachum Afatote Rachum, that we should learn from Hashem to be similar in God's attributes, so that is something that's entirely out of reach for us. How could a human being even think of having the attributes of Hashem? But when we see that there are individuals who may be individuals of much of who are so far beyond us, as we opened up, they're Nevi'im. They are people who are continuously attached to Hashem. Their minds are always with the Rabbonu Shalom. So they are people of a Madrega, of a level that is very, very distant from us. However, there are still people. They're still boss of Adam. They are still people that made errors and are criticized for errors. And there are people who had flaws. And the fact that they are people, so that gives us the encouragement that we can catch a little bit of the goodness of Avraham Avinu and the chesed of Hashem. But the point that we're drawing over here is that this gives life to what we say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. What we are looking for, one of the things that we're looking for, again, this is not the usual path that we take, but this is, I thought, a different and an additional idea to our study. One of the ideas that we're looking for when we look at the Avos is we're looking at aspects of the Rabbonu Shlolem that they model for us and that they make accessible to us. So, for example, this week's parsha, Yitzchak's sacrifice to Rabbonu Shlolem, that he's willing to put his life literally and the Chazal actually see this as something that we can connect with. And it's so hard. It's hard for me. There's one of the minhagim is to read every day Akedas Yitzchak. Then that's one of the ways that we begin our davening. Certainly when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we continuously invoke the Akedah of Yitzchak. And to me, it always felt as if this was not a good thing to do. Because if I'm invoking a standard which I couldn't even imagine, which I wouldn't even choose, so why is that a good thing to mention? Rav Revda was one of the great Bali Musar in America, so he addressed this question. And he said that even though we don't see ourselves as having that strength, but the fact that we read it and we say, this is the gold standard. This is something that is praiseworthy, something that a person should aspire to. I'm not at that level, but I see it as something that I'm missing. I don't see it as something that I see that I'm flawed because I couldn't do what Yitzchak did. He says that is what puts a person in a good position in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when we read the parsha of the Akedah, we get an insight into what Chazal referred to as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sacrifices of the Jewish people. Kadosh Baruch Hu sacrificed his spiritual and non-physical attributes for us, coming to our Sinai and giving us the Torah by giving a greater sense of his of our awareness of him in a shul in a Beis Hamikdash. So those are all seen on some levels of Kadosh Baruch Hu being willing to compromise on his non-physical attributes. Why? Because he wants to connect with Klal Yisrael. He wants to connect with people. The idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu shared his Torah with human beings. So it's crossing borders that diminish the uniqueness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So all of these things are ideas which are beyond our grasp, but we see that Yitzchak did it. Then we see that Rabbi Akiva did it. Then we know that we had the great grandparents who did it. And that sense of sacrifice, of being willing to give up the things that are most dear, we see it in people, we can begin to understand that that's one of the midos, that's the midah of gevurah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's true for chesed, it's true for emunah, it's true for gevurah. And when we see Yaakov Avinu, so we see a person whose loyalties are steadfast, that irrespective of all the different turbulences of his life and all the different situations where people had betrayed him, whether it's his being thrown out of his parents' home because he had to run away from Esav, and that's a certain betrayal of a plan, whether it was Rachel and Leah, whether it was Lavan, continuously being betrayed and continuously saying, I am sticking with the course. I'm not giving up any of my loyalties. Avraham Avinu, Lot leaves him. He doesn't, he's willing to take on any power in order to maintain the loyalty to his nephew, to his family. So when we see this unusual and uncompromising loyalty in a human being, so then we can aspire, because we know it's possible. We may not have that same level of loyalty, but we see it as a value that we can aspire to. And that's what it means to be a Merkava, one of the chariots of God, making an idea human, putting a human face on it. But then Simchas Yisrael says it goes a step further. It gives us access to an attribute of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's one of the, to me, it brings to life the very beginning of the Shmona Esrei, the Elokei Avram, that I'm appealing to an attribute of Hashem that I only understood through Avram. Elokei Yitzchak, an attribute of God that I only understood through, maybe, may not be the ones that Rabbeinu Bachai are providing for us. It might be an attribute that we see from our own studies, from our own learning. And let's finish up with an idea, that a third idea that Rav Shlomo Wolbe, when the Mashgiach, Rav Shlomo Wolbe was the were the great Mashgiach and the great trainers of character. He himself was trained in the universities of I think of Switzerland, and he was trained in the school of Piaget. He was a person with psychology, with a training in psychology as his background, and then at some point he moved to become under the guidance of Rabbi Yochum, one of the great Mashgiach of the Mir, and became a protege of his. And then later on in his life, he was the Mashgiach of one of the most successful yeshivas called the Be'er Yaakov Yeshiva. That was in the 60s. When I was a kid, I remember people going to Be'er Yaakov. Unfortunately, it was a yeshiva that had such, was led with such heavyweights, like one of the greatest Rosh Yeshiva, one of the greatest Mashgichim, that that often creates a fissure in a in an organization. And but then Rav Wolbe went on later on to be the Mashgiach at the Mir, and at the same time to set up a yeshiva to train his own set of proteges. Now, Rav Wolbe, I remember once in a conversation with Rabbi Abraham Twersky, when I was asking him what are the Sifrei Musa, what that he thinks are best suited for our generation. So his first reaction was any of Rav Wolbe's books, any of his svarim. And he said, because, and that's part of his own training, because he had a training in psychology, that he felt that he was able to bridge the ideas of Torah for our generation in a way that was both demanding as well as manageable. So he, in his introduction to his, he would give Shi'urim and Chumash. And the one of the introductory shiur that he gives to Reishis, he points out the beginning of this week's parasha. Where do we find an example of Chazal finding a pasuk to be immensely rich, to be have a wealth of ideas there that only Chazal would see? So the example he gives is this week's parsha, Vayero Elov Hashem Ve'Elonei Mamre. God appears to Avram in Elonei Mamre, and Avram is sitting at the opening of his tent in the heat of the day. So we know that Vayero Elov, Chazal say Hashem came to visit him because he had just had the bris. Chazal see this in the pasuk. Connection of last week's pasuk, they see that it's hard to understand what else is happening in this pasuk. Be'elonei Mamre, that must be the people, the Mamre is one of the people who encouraged Avram to have the bris. For who Yoshev, why is that a significant part of the story? Well, he had just had the bris. And he was sitting in the same fashion that the same phrase that will be used when people are in court and they're described, judges, as having the protection of Hashem and making their judgments. Hu Yoshev, God is sitting with him. Pesach Ha'Oel, what's he doing at the front of the tent? He was looking for a guest. Kechom Hayom, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to protect him from the... from sitting outside and from having guests. So because Rachel made it tremendously hot, so there shouldn't be anybody in the road. And then because Avram pined for the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim, so he was very troubled. So therefore God brought the Malachim. So Chazal see all of these stories in this pasuk, something that we would say is tremendously imposed and forced on the pasuk. The pasuk says he was sitting, it was hot. And we learn from our youngest years that there are a series of stories and episodes that are being expressed. So Wolbe says that this is part of the way, one of the ways that we are trained to look at Chumash, to be able to look at Chumash through the eyes of Chazal. We began by discussing the value of bringing our own awarenesses, our own eyes to the mitzvahs, to the parshas avos. In fact, as I was preparing this shiur some time ago, and I came across a letter, a correspondence between Rav Sherlo in Eretz Yisrael, and a question. Rav Sherlo, I do not know much about him. He's a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael and one of the Shivot heads there. But I do know about him, besides that he's an accomplished Talmud Chacham, as he was one of the first to have email correspondences. He was one of the major responders via social media and for people had questions. And so he must have given a shiur and where he addressed the avos in more human terms. And somebody wrote to him and said, my training since I was very, very young is that we only look at Chazal, we only look at the avos through the eyes of Chazal. We only look at the avos as people who have achieved perfection. And Rav Sherlo then responds by saying it, things are balanced, that the Rishonim did point out, Chazal point out sometimes the mistakes that the avos made. This week's parsha, Rashbam says that the Akedah was a response to a mistake Avraham made by beginning to negotiate part of the land of Israel, Tavi Melech. And the Ramban says that Avraham made a mistake when he asked Sarah to be disingenuous about their relationship. So he points out that Chazal and the Rishonim, they do point out the flaws of the Avos. And but on the other hand, that doesn't mean that anybody who comes to the study of Chumash should start discussing weaknesses in the avos that they may think of and they may concoct in their own ideas. The phrase that he uses is lo begova einayim velo beinayim shemiyim. That one doesn't look at the avos with as if they are our equals. And remember the Rav describing that being very upset when people used to analyze the avos with modern psychological terms. So he would say, lo begov einayim, we're not equals with the avos. As we began this year, Vayom Hashem el Avram, they were Nevi'im, they're an entirely different madrega. At the same time, lo be'einayim shemim, we don't make them into people who are inaccessible to us, people who are totally detached from us because of their level, because of their madrega. Rav Volvi, when he explains this balance, how we study the avos through the eyes of Chazal and appreciate through the eyes of Chazal, so he says his best way to explain this was through his own experiences. He says that he remembers the Chazon Ish saying, he remembers the Chazon Ish saying when he was reflecting on the Shoah and the Holocaust. He said that Baruch Ber was Baruch Rakam was the Talmud of Chaim Soloveitchik, one of the great Talmidei Chacham, great Gedolim of pre-war Europe. So he passed away shortly before the Second World War, and shortly after that, Rav Shimon Shkop, also one of the great Rosh Yeshiva, passed away. Rav Chaim Oizer, the Rav of Vilna, also was nifted before the Second World War. And the Chazon Ish said that they passed away, they were taken away from us before the Second World War, because if they would be alive, then God would not be able to bring the Second World War. God, there was a gzeira, there's a decree that there had to be the terrible Churban, the destruction of the Second World War, and he could not bring it to this world, and it would not have happened if these great Jews would still be alive. And then he said, and the Chazon Ish, how did the Chazon Ish know this? How did Rav Avraham Chaim Grudzinski, the Karelitz, sorry, of a Jew, one of the greatest Jews, Jew who turned around the Jewish people in the 20th century, how did he know this? How did he even think of this? So he said, because the Chazanish himself, he said once about himself that he did not know about the Holocaust during the years of the Holocaust. And he said about himself, if that Hashem purposely hid the news of the Holocaust from himself. He said, I, the Chazanish, God did not want me to hear about the Holocaust till it was all over. Why? Because if I would have known what was going on in Europe, I would have davened, and I would have been able to prevail upon the Ribbono Shel Olam, that there wouldn't be this gezeirah. So Rav Volpe says that the only way he could appreciate what the Chazanish said about Rav Baruch Ber and Rav Shimon Shkop is because the Chazanish, who was the farthest from being an arrogant person, he was a person who just knew himself, because the Chazanish knew himself who he was and the level he was on. So when the Chazanish knew who he was, then we can understand and appreciate and accept his appreciation of who Rav Baruch Ber and Rav Shimon was. So Volbe says that's how we look at the way that Chazal look at the Avos. If we appreciate the magnificent level of spirituality and of conduct that Chazal have achieved, so then we can understand and accept that their understanding of what the Avos were and their appreciation of the Madrega of the Avos, then that's real and that's genuine and it's entirely accurate. But it's only if we appreciate. Sometimes when I see my Talmidim who are sometimes skeptical about some of the stories of great Jews, it's only because they haven't experienced Jews of such elevated status. When we have the opportunity to see Jews of an elevated conduct, elevated spirituality, and we get it, that's possible, then that gives us the insight of how far a human being can reach. So that's what we wanted to draw on in this sphere. Three different introductory approaches that I found in the recent writings. One is the encouragement to look at the parshas fresh eyes, to understand that we bring to every parsha and every learning more maturity, more experiences. We think more deeply, even if we have less time to think. We think more deeply, we think and we think more accurately. And therefore, when we look at the stories of the Avos, there will be new appreciations. We have new ways of looking at language. We become much more appreciative of how words are put together. And we should have that confidence that we will understand and appreciate things that we've seen many, many times before. And it's true for Chumash, even more true for davening. And then the idea of Simcha Zisel, that when we look at the Avos, in addition to viewing the Avos for the characteristics which they manifest themselves, and for the patterns that they set up, and for the energies that they invested within the Jewish people, but we're able to track certain aspects of God through the conduct of the Avos, and that gives greater meaning to how we begin our Shemoneh Esrei every day, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And then, as a balance to Rav Solomon's introduction, the introduction of Rav Volpe, that when we learn the Rashis and learn the Midrashim and learn the ideas of Chazal and try to weigh which ideas of Chazal are said as allegory and which are said as narrative, but we appreciate that we are seeing the stories of the Avos through people of such a magnificent way of living themselves, of such great spirituality, that they will see things and understand them and see them accurately, things that we couldn't imagine that we'd be able to see. So I want to thank everybody for taking the time to join us tonight in a delayed Rosh Chodesh Shir. But I figure that this year everything is so unsure We wanted to make sure that we'd actually have a cheshvan before we had the Rosh Chodesh cheshvan shiur. So, Yirtzeh Hashem, in the upcoming months, we'll be able to have it scheduled earlier in the month and celebrate the Rosh Chodesh as all women should be celebrating and enjoying the Rosh Chodesh. I think Rabbi Cohen is up next, but thank you very, very much. And if there's any comments or questions, okay, thank you very much.